reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If the world hates you, realize that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, the world would love its own. But because you do not belong to the world, and I have chosen you out of the world hates you. Remember the word I spoke to you. No slave is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. And they will do all of these things to you on account of my name, because they do not know the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
In order to understand today's readings, we need to recall yesterday's. Yesterday, we focused in the Acts of the Apostles on that remarkable statement that we should never overlook of the church in Jerusalem that they sent to the church in Antioch. It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us. In other words, not just our call. They made that call very attentive to the Holy Spirit, to exactly what God wanted in that circumstance. And I mentioned yesterday, we need to be taking all of our decisions to prayer so that we're never just going to say, "I decided," but it's the decision of the Holy Spirit together with me. This is what I'm going to do. And we see how the Holy Spirit works in today's first reading. Paul wanted first to go to proclaim the gospel in various other parts of modern-day Turkey, after he had traveled through Phrygian Galatia. But the Acts of the Apostles says, but they were prevented by the Holy Spirit. A little bit later, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus, St. Luke tells us, didn't allow them. We see why a little bit later. Because God's plans were for Paul to take the gospel to Europe from Asia. It was only because he shut the doors in those two places where Paul naturally and logically would have gone according to his own wits. It was only because he shut those doors that Paul was available to receive this vision and cross over to Macedonia and Europe. And from there, of course, the gospel was brought to Rome, the gospel was brought to Spain, the gospel was brought everywhere. It's the decision of the Holy Spirit. A lot of the times the Holy Spirit is going to close certain doors in our life precisely to open up others. And we can't be so focused on our own plans that what the Holy Spirit wants to do would be frustrated. Sometimes that is the way the Holy Spirit works. To understand today's gospel, we also have to understand yesterday's. Jesus was telling us yesterday, love one another just as I have loved you. 2 days ago he said, just as the Father has loved me, so I love you. Live on in this love. And Jesus tells him to live on in this love means to keep his commandments. And then he tells us what that commandment is. Love one another just as I have loved you. No one has any greater love than to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus starts talking about the fruit they will bear if they remain in his love. And that fruit, more than anything else, is souls. People brought to Christ, people brought to the gospel, people brought to holiness, people brought to heaven. And after Jesus said, love one another just as I have loved you, and told us that no one can have any greater love than to lay down his life for his friend, he gives us today's gospel. If the world hates you, realize that it hated me first. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. The servant's not greater than his master. If we don't understand it in the context of yesterday, we'll misinterpret today. Jesus, after talking about loving to the extreme, says, we're going to have to. Because the same people who opposed him, the same people who opposed God, because their God is their own ego, is going to oppose us to the extent that we're united with the Lord. The Lord wants to get us ready to love those who oppose us just like he loved those who opposed him. We talked yesterday about St. Gregory the Great's comment that if we're not willing to sacrifice our time to pray, if we're not willing to sacrifice our time to serve others with real charitable love, we're never going to be capable of sacrificing ourselves for other human beings, especially our persecutors, especially those who might try to kill us, literally, and make us martyrs, as they have so many of our Christian forebears. But Jesus is describing this as the total outgrowth of his love. And so he tells us not to be afraid, because this is the way that he will train us in love to the extreme. Now, we're not, thanks be to God, going to be opposed by everyone. There are those who actually accept the gospel, who will embrace us in his name. Jesus promises great rewards to those. Even if they give us a cup of cold water, they will not lose their reward. There are going to be people with good soil who embrace us. So it's not like we go around picking fights with everybody and saying, because I suffer because of my problems, I'm just doing exactly what the Lord wants. A lot of our sufferings are self-inflicted, especially when they come from the good. But there's something more. There is a world that just doesn't want God to crowd in to their life. And to the extent that we resemble Christ, they'll oppose us. At first, when we don't really confront them, they'll just mock us and make fun of us. It happens all over the place. Read various of the newspapers, where they're always trying to criticize a false version of the church. But to the extent that we bring it ever more close to them, we too will be opposed. Even Mother Teresa was opposed, as if she were faking it and doing it only for publicity in major British newspapers. So we have to be ready for this, because that is going to be an opportunity in which one of two things can happen. We can say, woe am I. I'm only trying to do the good thing. Are you up there, Lord? Why do the good suffer? Why, just for living your gospel, am I having to lose my job because my boss insists that I work on Sunday and not be able to get to Mass? Or we can say, thank you, Lord, for accounting me worthy to grow in this love as you have taught us. The one who shows us both of these lessons from today's readings is Our Lady. She was one who was constantly cooperating with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her, not merely at the Annunciation, but throughout her entire life. She always remained a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is the reason why she was able to train the apostles how to hear the Holy Spirit's voice and how to respond fully, cooperating with him through all their apostolic journeys. She wishes to do the same with us. What a great teacher. She's also someone who was willing to suffer on account of her Son and give her own life with his for our salvation, when her heart was pierced 7 times at the cross, as she saw her Son's hands that used to squeeze her finger as an infant nailed to a cross. She saw that stomach which she used to bathe with water bathed in blood. She suffered as much as any mother ever could, but she did it totally with her Son. There are still many places where today she is opposed and hated and persecuted. She's cast off to the side, even by those who say that they're followers of her Son. She's mocked and art. The whole fact that she was ever virgin is the butt of some raunchy jokes. She continues to suffer. The whole image of Our Lady of La Salette is of a mother bawling her eyes out because of what we're doing to each other and we're doing to her Son. But she suffers with the help of the Holy Spirit, and she teaches us how to do the same, knowing that the suffering would never be wasted. But when inserted into the mystery of the Mass, in that great self-offering of Jesus' whole life to the Father, that it can bear great fruit, fruit that will last, fruit that will be translated into souls who, seeing her faith lived in us, will come to her Son, not just in this world, but forever. No slave is greater than his master. Today, as we prepare to receive the Master after having listened to his voice, let us ask him to bring us close.